Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, the seventh day of September. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Chris. Great to be with you again.
And here. And guys, I'll man the phones, and when we get our callers in, I'll sure let you know.
That's great.
Sounds good.
I got a great little text a while ago from someone, and they said something about John 14:12, and I looked it up, and I thought that'd be some good scripture to start the program off. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall also do. And greater works than those shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever." How wonderful is that?
Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit may be with us forever. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Are we still in forever?
Amen. Amen and amen. Way into the forevers.
Now, he didn't die with the apostles like a lot of people think?
Right. That is a wonderful passage, and there's so much meat in that. And as the word says, that whatever we'll pray in Jesus' name, it will glorify the Father. And so prayer works, and things happen. And yet we found, as Jesus said, "If you love me, do my commandments." And of course, you just got through reading some of his commandments, was in fact in his name to cast out demons and to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to speak in new tongues, all those things. So we got a big package of commands, and I certainly didn't never focus on them until I was age 44, even though I was born again when I was 13. But since age 44, I've been trying and doing those commands of Jesus, and I can tell you it's been the highest adventure part of my life. Hallelujah.
Now, you talk about being born again at the age of 13 and that you didn't have much of a walk with Christ. How do you think that would have played out, you know, for the rest of your life? Would it just been a lukewarm life, or did God get a hold of you and set you on fire?
Well, if I'd kept on going like I was, I think it would have just been lukewarm. It was very easy, very comfortable to stay where I was. I was in a church that didn't even bring Bibles to church. It was really sad, but as I look back, it was kind of a social church, and we had a lot of nice functions, a lot of nice people, a lot of nice get-togethers, and it was very comfortable. I went to high school with a number of people there in the church, and so socially I knew them, many of them, and it was comfortable. But something happened in my life that certainly jerked my chain, and I wound up receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, and I haven't been the same since.
Well, it's kind of like John 14:13, which we just read. It said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And I don't know that a social gathering glorifies the Father and the Son very much.
No, it was very low-key, and I would have been, I'm pretty convinced, doing that right up to the present day. I would have missed 38 years of the supernatural and seeing God use little me, use anybody that would reach out. But it took a tragedy in my life to get me focused, reaching out. I needed the comforter, the Holy Spirit, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 38 years ago, and that was what gave me the boost into the gospel and to start doing even the works of Jesus, which still amazes me that in His name, we Christians, and it's not a gift thing, we Christians can do the works that Jesus did. And what works did He do? Well, it's pretty easy. You just read the New Testament. And, of course, it's been reported he spent about a third of his time doing exorcisms or casting out of demons. About a third of his time of ministry. And yet he's saying, the works that I do, He shall do also. It's obvious that we certainly are to be doing that and laying hands on the sick, doing whatever Jesus did. Even raising the dead. I haven't seen that yet, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit. I know of cases where it's happened.
Well, this would also go to the John 14:13, like I just read. If you're not doing the works that I shall do also, as Jesus said, that I do, you shall also do, the Father, again, is not glorified in the Son, because these works of casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all of these supernatural things, glorify the Father. And I think a lot of people may have started that way and end up not glorifying the Father. If you watch a Sunday morning church sometimes on some of the television stations, but you know, our job is to glorify the Father. Now, I understand that you had a deliverance today in your office, and you had someone come there that saw.
Oh, it was a wonderful deliverance. A young lady, 18, a student at the University of Oklahoma, and she had called, wanted to come in. She'd actually had ministry before, she'd broken up with her boyfriend and was depressed and many other bad feelings hanging on. So we had wonderful ministry, and we were able to cover some things that had not been covered before. The inner healing portion was marvelous, and the Lord took her through certain events that happened as a child when she was like six, and I think again at eight, and and different things that left her with tormenting feelings, bad feelings. And those feelings, as it turned out, were the roots of her major spiritual problems, and had to do with depression and rejection and various kinds of fear and guilt and et cetera. So it's interesting how this works. So many times, as a child even, people wind up opening doors due to certain situations that happen to them, and they carry these bad feelings, which allow ultimately the demons to take over and promote that very area. And then the breaking of ungodly soul ties was wonderful today. I'll bet this young lady, I didn't count them, but I'll bet she yawned 75 times plus. Even when we went through the door closing prayer, she was yawning heavily. And so often, as we've seen, those yawns represent spirits departing. And in the actual deliverance, she yawned, and we came against these different likely spirits, and she'd yawn them out. And then she had a short leg when we did the limb check, and her right leg was about 3/4 inch short, and it adjusted out while we both watched. And that was exciting to her, and me too. I'm always excited to see that. And then she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and a beautiful tongue, a beautiful flowing prayer language. So she went out obviously beaming, and I was beaming too because the Lord used little me to help her. So she received that comforter. Amen.
She received the comforter. Well, you know, you mentioned inner healings and wounds. You know, they can come from even in the womb with your mother. Those cause insecurities, fears, doubts, things that hinder you in your walk.
Yes.
Can you discuss that just a little bit, how they
come
about?
Well, absolutely. That's another area of ministry that we do where we take the person through an exercise, especially where someone has had a lot of rejection in terms of not being wanted, or they were adopted and they felt rejected from that, that their biological parents did not want them. So they're feeling they're just not wanted. And those are right in the womb. Even they can sense that as a baby in the womb. Those bad feelings. And so there's a prayer method that we take them through where they visualize Jesus there at the time of the father's sperm seeking the mother's egg, and that Jesus is there pointing out and identifying and directing one particular sperm with special gifts and special talents, directing that sperm right up to the mother's egg, and conception takes place. And as the person starts realizing that they weren't by accident, they were wanted, Jesus was in the show. Jesus was there directing. It wasn't any accident. And once that soaks in, then that's a type of inner healing in itself.
Good. Well, you know, I got a little praise report. I was speaking to the mother of someone you ministered to in Branson. And in the past, he had had what appeared to be a stroke. It's a young man, 15, 16 years old. What appeared to be a stroke, he woke up and was unable to move his right side and was blind in his right eye, I believe. It might have been his left, but one side was blind and paralyzed. His father took him to the doctor. They did MRIs, all the tests. They could find nothing. Well, he mentioned that it happened again this week. And instead of going to the doctor, he said he was laying there. He was blind in one eye, paralyzed on one side, and he could barely mumble it out. But he says, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And he said that immediately his sight restored and his paralysis disappeared.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's our Jesus. And that's the word performing itself as a Christian speaks it. And that what's amazing is all of us can do that. If you're a Christian, you're qualified to speak in His name. That's awesome. Wonderful testimony.
And you mentioned
praise
the womb
God.
While ago and the egg, Galatians 1:15, but when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through His grace.
Hallelujah.
Even from my mother's womb.
He knew us before even. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, isn't it wonderful we can hold on to our Jesus because we all have traumas and things, but praise God there are answers. And the Word shows us what we should be doing so many times. Instead of just sitting there, we are to be active, not passive, and even commanding things, just as that man did with his eyes. He was commanding. He rebuked it in Jesus' name. And if only more Christians would get hold of this, it's for all of us. Very few Christians more are learning about it, but that overall the body of Christ is terribly lacking in this understanding.
Well, I'd like to encourage everyone out there. We have a great book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Mr. Everett Cox. It's available through Scriptures for America or at deliveranceusa.com. We really don't care where you get it. We just want you to get it. And it's a manual, step-by-step, on how to do what you do on Monday nights, correct?
That's affirmative. The steps that we've learned to do over the years, and believe me, we've tried many different ways of deliverance and continuing to tweak over these 38 years I've been doing it, and the model we use is in the book. So if anyone is interested in learning, these are time-tested methods that any Christian can use and see results.
Well, we have Dan on the line.
Oh, hi.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Calling in. Yes, I hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you sound good.
Okay, well, Dan, I'd asked Dan to call in earlier. I talked to him and today and suggested he call in and maybe share. Dan's real active in the gospel, but share how he first learned about this works of Jesus. It's called deliverance and also healing, but whatever you're comfortable in sharing, Dan, that you've seen thus far, why don't you go ahead, that the listeners would be very interested in hearing.
A friend of mine from a little church I go to suggested I get a hold of Everett Deliverance Ministry and gave me a website, and I looked it up and called and drove by the little church where they hold the meetings and drove by his office and went there on Monday night at 5:00. I was there a half hour early just so I could check it out. Everything checked out cool. Richard came in with his shofar, and I looked at the material, and I was still kind of hesitant. I was kind of expecting banjos and hillbillies, but turned out to be very, very, very professional, and I still sat with my arms folded for the first 5 or 10 minutes, and as Everett started sharing his life experience and the truth and the Word of Jesus, and there was no conflict. I paid attention, loosened up, listened. When they did the door closing prayer, I was on my knees, face to the ground, repeating the stuff, and stayed around for a deliverance, but I still wasn't perfectly wholehearted in it. I figured I was pretty good, and went through the steps, got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and couldn't quite get the prayer language going, but I knew that I liked the stuff, and I was coming back the next week for training. After the training, we sat in on an incredible deliverance with a man who kind of like myself, has a good life, but there's issues that needed to be pulled out and cast out and thrown down and set to the foot of Jesus, and Everett did a remarkable work, little old him, speaking with authority of Jesus, talking to these demons. When we were close to being done, he asked, is there still anyone left in there? And a little voice said, yeah, we're all gone. And we just broke out into laughter. They aren't very smart, but Richard was able to get this one, last one, to come out, and then invoked the Lord's angels to wield their swords and chop up anything that's left and send it to the foot of the cross. And I was impressed when he asked about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was really ready, and he baptized both of us, and my prayer language just started flowing. I could break out into it anytime I feel like it. I can sing along with the radio in my prayer language. It's amazing. So that's where I am. I'm coming back. I have a wife who I have spent hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, on counseling, and it never worked. And as a result of this here, I realized that we weren't talking to her. We were talking to demons, trying to get them to behave, and they aren't. They have their little routine, and they're sticking to it. And as soon as she gets back from Las Vegas, we'll get her ministered to, and I believe she'll be healed in one session, and will become a part of the ministry with me. I fully intend to make this my end-of-life service from now to the end, whatever, however long that'll be. That's pretty much it.
Well, praise God. Well, we're believing she'll get a Jesus overhaul, and I know I'm scheduled to work with you on this coming Thursday, so I'm believing that things will really be good after the ministry session. That's typically what we see. Funny.
That is tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. That's right. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Chris.
Dan, you mentioned banjos and hillbillies. If you came to my church, that's what you might experience on this part of the Appalachian. So,
I like them. I just remember the movie Deliverance, and was just a little bit apprehensive.
I'm picking on you, Dan.
And there were a couple of kids from Arkansas that looked like they could have fit in, and also a person who'd driven from Nebraska who was in a business suit. And then last week, not Labor Day, there was a guy who flew in from Washington State. So, and I have some friends that I want to fly in from California. You know, they have a bump in the road, and you know, the husband and wife can come and break one daughter maybe and heal that relationship in one weekend. I've offered them, I'm going to be on the road for a month. I offered them my house and my car, but they'll just come. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Dan, what was it that you felt? What was it that made you feel that you might need deliverance? What was going on in your life? You said, you know, your life was pretty good to begin with.
Well, my life is pretty good. I've been spoiled all my life. I've never wanted for anything. I go to two churches on Sunday, a Messianic synagogue on Saturday, and I know the Lord and the Word and stuff, but this issue with my wife, I mean, like I said, we've only been married for a couple of years. I've had a crazy life up until 20 years ago, and was off drugs, and for the last 20 years, I don't even take aspirin. I really don't want anything impure in my body. The last 7 years, I've been, well, 5 years I was celibate, and then I got married. And we haven't been teenagers, but we're not celibate, so. But her situation, I mean, I just literally didn't want to spend any more money, didn't want to take any pharmaceuticals. My friend said she thought this might be good, and she's been in Las Vegas for the last month, so staying with her dad, and it's not a bad situation, and maybe there'll be some family healing there that can be brought into this. I know what I saw was good, and I want to be a part of it.
Well, excellent.
Praise God. And I can tell Dan will make a good team leader. You've got that thrust.
There's a I go to a Tuesday morning fellowship, and one of the guys' grandchild has been diagnosed with Menkes disease, and it's very rare. It's always fatal, and it is a missing part of their DNA that doesn't allow the child's body to process copper. And he's like a little albino, and I was felt led to go over there. Everett coached me to break generational curses and then, you know, cast out the spirit of infirmity, of death through infirmity, and the spirit of the Menkes disease, and lay hands and pray, and, you know, keep doing it. I was weeping. The mother was weeping. The little boy was calmer when I left than when I came. I went back on Monday. He was still ill, still in the ICU. I prayed more and more. I prayed for about 15 minutes, praying in tongues, and just said, Lord, deliver this child for your glory. And I am tempted to think that I did it, but I know that I don't do anything. It's the Lord, the Holy Spirit in me that does the work, and we'll just see.
Amen. And you spoke in Jesus' name, Dan.
Oh, I spoke in Jesus' name. Yes, sir.
We're believing for good things with you there, brother.
Yeah, well, his name is Evan Klingenberg. He's about 8 months old. He's had seizures. They got the diagnosis of this Menkes disease before he had his first seizure. And, you know, they're devastated. But what a powerful opportunity for the Lord. I said that our Lord can change water into wine. He can fix that DNA.
We just all stand in agreement here, amen. And with the power
amen.
That's been given into us, we agree, as you spoke and you prayed, that we break all curses, generational curses, satanic assignments of this disease or infirmity, and we command any related spirits that are not gone to go now from Kevin. In the name of the Lord Jesus of Christ, go. Death and death by infirmity and death by that disease, in Jesus' name. Here we are all in agreement around the country here on this radio show. But it's written, where two or more agree, it shall be done by the Father in heaven. So infirmity, go. Death, go. In Jesus' name. And we command healing. We speak directly to his little body in the name of Jesus. We speak restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus. Total healing. And we speak to that the DNA to come into godly order and balance now in the name of Jesus. Adjust in the godly order in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. We declare healing. We speak life into him now. Life in Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Well, Dan, well, anything you'd like to close with before we let you go?
No, I really want to thank Everett for praying that with the nation. That just does something to me. I will call back with a report as soon as I have one.
Well, we'd appreciate
Praise
it.
Praise God.
Praise
thank
God.
Thank you, Brother
thank
Dan.
You, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, love you all. Bye.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Now, one thing I've heard you pray is pray over people's chromosomes, DNA, in their body.
Well, genetics. Genetics, DNA. We have this amazing power to speak correctly. You know, what soaks in, I've seen probably thousands of short legs and arms adjust as we speak in Jesus' name. You know, adjustment is taking place in the body where they're out of alignment or chiropractors work with them, but we can speak directly to it. And while holding up their shoes and see these short legs, and we watch it adjust right in front of us as I'm holding the the shoes up, looking at the short leg, and it comes out. Same way with the arms. And so if we can do that, what else can we do? Well, much more than we've realized, that we have this amazing power to speak in Jesus' name and to do his same works. All the things that Jesus did, just think about it throughout the New Testament, all those amazing supernatural things Jesus did, we are to do the same works that he did. Awesome,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And when you raise someone from the dead, which we will be doing as a ministry, you know, the Lord
yes.
will lead us, and we're going to get better and better, and we're going to get closer and closer to him. But when you raise someone from the dead, there has to be regeneration of cells and DNA and everything. That
yes. Amen.
You're speaking forth life.
Yeah, we take authority over any genetic or DNA defects and command them to adjust in the godly order and stay adjusted. In Jesus' name.
I happen to know
Thank
one
you,
elderly
Lord.
Preacher that has spoken over people that were dead in the hospital and has brought several of them up out of that bed.
Yes.
He said he was telling me the stories, and one time he said he was in the hospital and the person had just passed away, and he started to pray, and the Lord said, no, let this one die. It was his time.
Mm-hmm.
There was just
and it's
reason.
The doctrine of Christ. I believe that's in Hebrews 6, if I remember right. The doctrines of Christ is included in there is the raising of the dead. So here we are. We're to be doing all these things. Praise God. I'm not surprised at anything, Chris.
You know, you mentioned earlier you were talking about being a passive Christian, and 1 Peter 5:8 comes to mind where it says, be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you're passive around a lion, guess what? He's going to get you.
Yes. And Peter was speaking to Christians when he said that. If we
yes.
didn't need to follow that and resist, why did he say it to Christians? Well, we do. We need to resist. And very few Christians have even identified the enemy, and of course, I was that same way up to age 44. I wasn't resisting anything. I didn't even know about the war.
Well, you know, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people will stand on that, resist the devil, but they'll miss the part where it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And that submission is to the teachings, to the writings, the ordinances, the laws of the prophets. There's many things in there that you submit to in order to have that victory over Satan. A lot of people think they could continue in the life that they had and still have that victory, and it just doesn't work that way, does it?
No, that's correct. That's correct. And, of course, show me a Christian that hasn't opened some doors. You know, these 15 doors we've identified, the unforgiveness door being the biggest and the most common and slippery. Who hasn't opened that door and carried bitterness and let those spirits come in? I certainly did my part of that, and I had to start adjusting and forgiving right away when somebody I feel has done me wrong, and I had to learn to voice out to Jesus that I forgive that person and I bless them, and then rebuke any related spirits. So, you know, it's kind of involved. The spirit world is complicated. There's no doubt about it. But praise God, we have all the tools that we need from the cross. Jesus gave us all the tools and weapons that we need to deal with the enemy, the darkness, and to have victory and have life abundant. Hallelujah.
Well, for our listeners that don't understand the doors, can you just touch on what the doors may be?
Well, yes. There's 15 doors. It took us a while to learn them. In the beginning, we didn't know about doors. We just would figure out the likely spirits, since most demons kind of, you know, blow their cover by what they're intending to do. And so it took us a while to start learning. I had prayed over a period of time to the Lord, asking the Lord to show us how to make ministry easier and quicker. And as we were going into the wee hours, and he started over a period of time showing us about the doors. But just quickly, there's 15 doors that we've identified, and of course, the first one is you need to be a born again Christian. Water baptized Christian, and because you don't get anywhere unless you're born again. But sin is a door, so it's a matter of repenting, unforgiveness, a matter of asking the Lord to show you need to forgive, and then voicing out that you forgive that person, and you bless them, and you need to honor your father and mother, and that's a door we learned for spirits of death. Sins, works of the flesh, so many of those that are Galatians 5:19. Pride can be a door, any involvement with witchcraft and secret societies, and false religions, even yoga is a door for Hindu demons to come in, drugs and alcohol, traumas, that's why we do all the inner healing. Those events of the past that carry bad feelings, Jesus will heal those in inner healing. Hypnosis can be a door. Idolatry, where we have our eyes on something other than Jesus, is number one in our lives. Of course, being rebellious and disobedient, even our ancestors have opened a generational door for us on that one. All kinds of curses, even in the Bible, 10-generation curse of illegitimacy and sins of the forefathers, all those are doors that demons will come through, and then of course curses that people speak, curses that witches speak, and then ungodly soul ties that have formed up between people that where they've been very controlling and they tended to lead you down an ungodly path. Those form up. Demons otherwise will come through those ungodly soul ties. So that was a quick overview of the 15 doors that I put a prayer together over the years that deals with those doors. Takes about 15 minutes to close those doors before ministry.
And you can find that prayer on deliveranceusa.com under ministry tools. But right now we've got our caller on the line. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
Uh-huh. Yeah, hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks. Oh, I'm blessed, and I know you are. I appreciate you calling in. I had asked Teresa to call in to share how she first learned about deliverance, and also what experiences you may have seen or had yourself. So whatever you're comfortable in sharing, Teresa, go right ahead.
Absolutely, and thank you again for having me on. Church I attend here in Enid, World Harvest, we have had a number of ladies going down there, I believe it was last summer, and I was hearing about this deliverance ministries, and so I started asking around, and I had just missed a carload that went down the following Monday, and so I just decided to get some people together, and we went that Monday after, and so didn't know what to expect, just kind of sat there and just was going with the flow, and then they started to pair us up, and I was blessed to have a gentleman, and we prayed, and then he started to go through the different doors, I believe, as you were mentioning, and one that kept sticking out was forgiveness for me, for myself. I experienced lots and lots and lots of trauma growing up, and I don't know, by nature, by spirit, I've always been naturally very forgiving towards others, but to myself, I would blame myself for the traumas that have occurred in myself, so in my life. So I carried that with me, and so we kept having to go back to speaking to that, and to, you know, have you truly forgiven yourself, and so we walked through that, and it took a long time, and he was in no way of any rush, but I left there just, I felt light, I just felt a load off, and I felt freedom, I felt that, you know, I don't have to blame myself anymore, and then I just understood a completely new aspect of spiritual ties, as you call them, of just these doors, and just I learned what soul ties were, and just how very easy and susceptible we are, even by our simple words, to open up you know, a portal or a hole for a demon to come in and just shame us and blame us, as for me, with not, you know, forgiving myself and just ruminating on things of the past. And so it was fantastic. It was amazing. And I receive emails from then on, and I get to read about all the blessings and all the freedom that's occurring there. And it's a fantastic thing. And I've been praying ever since that we get more and more and more ministries like this, not only in Oklahoma,
praise
but
God.
Yes.
Teresa, when you were ministered to, did you feel the spirits coming out, or how do you know there were spirits departing?
Well, unknown to me, during the introduction, you know, they were talking about yawning as one of the signs that maybe a spirit's coming out, or burping, I just remember those two things. So when we were going through them, I was especially yawning significantly. My eyes were watering. I just couldn't stop yawning, and even to the point of embarrassment. So, and I believed in that. I truly believed, because you guys had walked us through that as far as signs of that these would, you know, happen if spirit was to be released. And sure enough, I wasn't yawning at all, and up until Gerald started working with me. So I believe it, and I did experience yawning significantly. Mm-hmm.
It's quite common. I ministered to a young lady today, Teresa,
mm-hmm.
and I'll bet she yawned 75 times plus. You know? I finally asked her. I said, "Do you normally sit around and yawn like this?" She said, "Well, no." And anyway, she was just like you when she left. She was on a huge high, and she had wonderful ministry, I'm anxious to talk to her in a few days, see how she's doing.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Amen. Praise That's God great. For that.
So, before you came to the ministry, what was it that really brought you there? What was hindering you? Was your walk with Christ hindered? Were there issues popping up that... And the reason I ask that is there may be people out there with similar issues that may realize from your testimony that they could seek deliverance also and be set free.
No, there was no hindrance. I was more so anticipating. A very good friend of mine that I became very close to during my cancer a few years back, and she would come over and pray and just spend time with me. She told me about it, that her and a few girlfriends hopped in the car and they went down to the city, and they experienced this, you know, deliverance ministries. And then she mentioned another name, that she was going to get a group together, because the first group, they got so much freedom. They just loved it. And so word started to spread in our church. And so they were just, doing carpools down there. So I am just asking questions. I'm sending messages. I'm emailing. I'm like, when's the next, you know, ride down there? And then, is it legit? Is it, you know, is it, you know, Bible, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit led, you know, all these things? And yeah, you know. And so I was like, oh my gosh, you gotta go. Because I'm always, you know, anything in the prophetic, anything in the healing, anything that would bring less of me and more Jesus into my life, whether it's shedding or refining, and just with my past, and then with the cancer and just all that I've been through, I'm always just eager. So that's, I just had to take that first step, and so I ended up having to get my own car pulled together, and reached out to a few people, and sure enough, we went down there, and it was a little intriguing, and a little nervous sitting there because you don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, once you get into, you know, you're paired up, which I totally know is Holy Spirit led, you know, and they start walking you through. I mean, just naturally, just this, you know, the crying begins, or the weeping, or the small child in you, and then all this starts to just surface, and it's just, you know, the Holy Spirit just cleaning house in you, and it's fantastic. So it just takes that one step, of faith, and I'm here to testify that it is legit. It is Christ-led, Bible-led, Holy Spirit-led. It's nothing for, you know, seeking glory or fame. It's just a ministry that is not very common, and more broadcasted, you know, when to get the word out about that.
So do you feel,
and exactly,
do you feel closer to the Lord?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's helped you walk with Christ, and I said, do you feel closer to the Lord? Has it helped your walk with Christ and your understanding of the word?
Absolutely. Yes, and it's, yes, absolutely, but more so on the releasing part, on the things that we are born into, genetic, generational, all those things that come to us, and that's made me more interested in learning about that so I can help others. And praying over my daughter. She's 7, and you know, I started praying over her and to break any generational curses that have been through my bloodline, with me being of Jew blood and the cancer gene and all this. And so, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very educational.
Praise God.
Yes.
That's awesome. Teresa lives about an hour and a half north of Oklahoma City. So, there's been some carpools that have been, as she was mentioning, put together to bring several people down to Oklahoma City, and they'd all get ministry. You know, we have the one-on-one ministry. We typically do around 15. How many were there the night you were there, Teresa? Do you remember? How many people?
I don't remember.
For ministry.
There was quite a bit. Huh? I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. A pretty good crowd.
Yes, absolutely. There was a pretty good crowd. I know that we had a call or email, I don't quite remember, to let you guys know how many's coming down. But when we were down there, there was talk of possibly having a deliverance ministry here in Enid or around Enid area, and we were just stoked. We were so excited, and it's funny because just a couple of weeks ago, Cindy had asked me if I had went back down there or if I had heard that if anything like that was coming to Enid, and I said no through emails. I haven't seen anything, so we'll keep carpooling and busting people down there.
Well, at least an hour and a half isn't too bad.
No,
could be worse. There's people that drive, like that man that flew in last week from Seattle. Then he flew back the next day, you know. That was a long haul.
Yes.
But praise God. Maybe you guys can form up a deliverance ministry up there in Enid and start ministering to some of the people locally.
That would be fantastic. I would definitely pray about that and love to be trained, and that's something to consider and pray about for sure. Enid would really, really benefit from that, and the Lord can spread like wildfire through that ministry. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, the need is every town, just like Enid. Let's see, what's the population there, roughly?
It's about 60,000.
Enid.
We have the big five food plants, and then we have Vance Air Force Base. So it's a pretty good-sized town. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and think how many other cities are just that very size around the country. And there's probably no deliverance taking place at all in the majority of them.
Yes.
So the need is huge and the workers are few. So maybe the Lord will lead you into that. You could start coming down, several of you, to our training on Monday nights over on the other side of the church and start learning those steps, you know.
That'd be great. We actually have a huge women's conference here at our church, World Harvest, Friday and Saturday, and so I will be seeing the ladies that originally went down there, and I will definitely talk to them about it. And let you guys know, yes, because I do know there's interest. As mentioned, as if you know there was something that coming up this way, but we can start it, and it's God's will. But yes, we'll.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The majority of our ministers are those that have gone through deliverance themselves, and they've seen the reality of it, and they realize how their life turned around, and then they see all these people around them that have those similar problems, and they know what the deal is, and it gives them the compassion to want to learn and help.
Absolutely. And more
Teresa,
so, it's something that you... Go ahead. Sorry?
I was just going to say, as we wind up here, do you have anything else to say to the listeners concerning this subject?
Well, I just want to say, if you get the opportunity to please come and take part in the deliverance ministries here in Oklahoma City. And it's something life-changing, life-altering experience. You'll never be the same again. And you will leave with tools that you can actually do at home. I often find myself during prayer and soaking and meditating on the Word. And I just go through little steps, check myself and make sure, especially if I'm under a heavy burden of something. So it's an overall a great godly experience, and that, like I said, would be changed forever in your life and in your family and in your home. And I pray that everybody that's listening, that you're given the opportunity to come and to experience freedom. And if not, reach out and I don't know if you guys do phone ministry or anything, but just hang in there and know that people are praying for you and everything's going to be all right.
Praise God. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for calling in and sharing. You did an awesome job of telling it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And have a blessed evening.
You too. You too.
And we want to thank...
Take care.
Thank you, Teresa. We want to thank all of our listeners and remind you that, you know, you can find out more about this ministry at deliveranceusa.com. You can get a great book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And also at the ministry site, there's self-help tools, there's ministry tools, and you can experience a lot of this just there at home on your computer. I think there's several hours of teaching and training there. It's something you need to look into. It is one of the works of Jesus. And I want to thank you, Pastor Cox, for being with us again. Anything you want to close with before we go to the music?
Well, just that it's high adventure to be in the middle of all this, that God will use any of us, and we can do His supernatural works in His name. Praise God that somebody shares, and that someone shared with me and any of us, that we can learn about it. I might have missed it my whole life. And so there's many listening out there that can step into it and start in living life abundant.
Well, amen. We'll hope to see everyone again next week, Wednesday night, our prayer program, and then Hope is Alive. We thank you for joining us, and thank you, Richard.
Be blessed. Thank you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong.